Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the 49ers Insider Podcast on NBC Sports Bay Area.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco 49ers Insider, Matt Mayoko.
All right, coming up a little bit later on the 49ers Insider Podcast, I talk with comedian, actor Al Madrigal, a very funny guy, longtime 49er fan, looking forward to chatting with him. And in fact, my conversation with him took place on Thursday before the 49ers game against the Rams. So Al makes a prediction. You can see if it holds up pretty well, but part of it does. He does say that the 49ers will score some points. So we'll check that out. Al Madrigal coming up on the 49ers Insider Podcast. But first, it's Jeff Garcia. And Jeff, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
So you came up Thursday for the game. I understand maybe you had a seven-year-old at home who didn't want to see you go.
Yeah, my little guy Jax was a little disappointed that Dad had to leave on his birthday. And fortunately, I had the morning with my guy, but had to leave and go to work. And he didn't quite understand that. He was celebrating his seventh birthday on that last Thursday, the night that the 49ers played the Rams. And, you know, it's one of those things. I think, unfortunately for him, as the third child, he seems to get lost in the shuffle a lot. You know, when he was born, I was playing football elsewhere. I was home for his birth, but I did have to leave right away. I couldn't stick around. And there aren't as many pictures up around this house of Jax. I mean, it's just one of those things. But what a great little guy. And we're blessed to have four little ones, but happy birthday, happy belated birthday to my guy Jax.
So you were gone for his birthday up here for the game, but then you make it up to him, right? I mean, does it turn into a multi-day birthday?
Oh, absolutely. The guy's probably celebrating. He celebrated, let's see, we celebrated the night before, and then he had his grandma in town, so they celebrated the day I was gone. Then we had his birthday on Saturday, big birthday at Chuck E. Cheese with all his buddies. And I'm surprised Mom let him have it at Chuck E. Cheese. But
she's not a Chuck E. Cheese fan?
No, she's really not. But
because of the balls that those kids jump into and how clean they are?
Right. I think she's definitely OCD about how disgusting things can be out there in the public, in a place where everybody comes in and grease and pizza and dirt. Anyways, Jax was adamant about having his party at Chuck E. Cheese, and he got it, and it was a great day.
So when you come up here, you live in San Diego. What's it like? I know you do the pregame show out toward the parking lot. Do you get, you know, a lot of fans come up to you? And what's that like, second week now, working the pre- and post-game shows at Levi's Stadium?
You know, it's a lot of fun. It's great to get back involved. And I feel like I had been away for so long and not really around the 49er organization as much or at all, really. And to have this opportunity to get hired on by NBC Sports Bay Area and to now be around the 49ers and the fans, the recognition and the appreciation that they show me out there, it really feels good because, you know, when I left, it wasn't on my terms. I didn't want to leave at the time back in 2000 after the 2003 season. And it was Terry Donahue and ownership who felt they needed to go a different direction at that time. And hey, me being a hometown kid and playing for the hometown team and was a dream come true for me. And to be away literally for the last 13, 14 years and now to be back and somewhat involved and to be around the team, it feels really good. And it feels good to see the response and the appreciation that the fans have been showing to me over the past couple home games, just being around them and hearing them call out my name and tell me how much they loved me. And, you know, hey, it does feel good to hear those things.
When you were here, was John McVay around much?
John signed me. He signed me as a 49er, and he was here for the first...
So Bill didn't sign you?
Well, Bill was the one who told the 49ers, hey, you guys need to look at Jeff Garcia and need to work him out. But John was the guy I signed the contract with. I mean, he put the contract in front of me and signed me to the contract, and he was involved for the first few years that I was here, and then he went off.
So now his grandson, Sean McVay, head coach of the Rams, and I ran into Mike Shanahan before that game. He was here in Santa Clara to see that game. There's a chance that these two bright young offensive minds are going to be seeing a lot of each other and competing a lot of against each other through the years. That's kind of exciting, isn't it, to see these two fresh, young coaches who really put on a pretty good offensive show on Thursday night.
It was a good show, and you're talking about two young, up-and-coming, offensive-minded coaches, guys that really came through the Mike Shanahan system in a lot of ways. And actually, Sean McVay, when he was still wet behind the ears in 2008 as a quality control guy in Tampa Bay, was my second year in Tampa Bay under John Gruden, and that's where he really got his start, got his foot in the door. And really took advantage of the opportunity. He went on from there to be with Jay Gruden in the United Football League, and then off to Washington with the Shanahans, and then Jay got the job in Washington, and he was held over and has really progressed and climbed the ladder quickly and has proven himself to be a quality coach. And now as a head coach, he's doing some good things with the young Rams football team.
So now the 49ers go to Arizona. It'll be their third straight game against an NFC West opponent. Two very close games, you know, two losses at Seattle and at home to the Rams by a combined, 5 points? What do they have to do to get going and win a game, get off the schneid in the NFC West? And I mean, do you think Brian Hoyer has, after the rough start against the Rams, he found a little bit of momentum?
Well, it was nice to see the offense actually make some plays and get some things going from a production standpoint. And for Hoyer to overcome a negative play at the beginning of the game and actually have a very productive, very efficient football game and really bring that team back in a lot of ways and had a chance to win that game against the Rams. But like you said, facing their third division opponent in a row, you can't continue to fall further and further behind. Somehow, some way, this team needs to put a total game together in all aspects of the game. Unfortunately, the defense did not show up against the LA Rams, and that's what had played well, fairly well, in the first two games and had given them an opportunity to actually stay in games. Now they need to find a way to put a total game together, offensively, defensively, and special teams. And it's going to be tough in Arizona. And Arizona is not far removed from being a quality football team. And they have pieces that can produce. And so it's going to be important. It's going to be a tough football game. They're always tough defensively. They're going to have to go into a hostile environment in that Arizona stadium. And they need to be ready to strap it on and make the most of the opportunity.
I think Brian Hoyer needs to get off to a good start. And, you know, he didn't that game against the Rams. The very first pass is intercepted. As a quarterback, how important is it to get off to a good start and feel that momentum from the beginning? Some guys need it more than others. But from your standpoint, how important was it? And how important do you think it is for Brian Hoyer?
Well, it's always very important to get off to a good start. And I was always concerned about the first pass. How's the football going to feel? How's it going to come out of my hand? I just wanted to get that first one out of the way and then settle down. And unfortunately for Brian, last Thursday, that first pass, that first decision was not a good one. And it was a costly one. The thing about the quarterback position is you have to have what we call STM, short-term memory. And you have to have thick skin. If you don't have those two things, you're not going to live long as a quarterback in the National Football League. And he responded well, and especially with the criticism that has been coming his way with the lack of production in the first two games of the season. He comes off of a 300-plus yard performance in week three. They score a lot of points. He's fairly efficient after the first poor decision. And now can he go into the next game and put together another performance? Because really what it comes down to at the quarterback position is consistency. Week in and week out, you have to be able to produce. You may not be asked to produce 350, 400-yard games, but you have to be efficient and effective. And one of the things that has hurt the 49ers through the first 3 weeks are turnovers. They've had interceptions. They've had fumbles. They've had, if I'm not mistaken, about six turnovers in the first three games. That's too many turnovers. They did a better job on third down. They had a 50% third down efficiency last Thursday, and that's going to have to continue to be there in order for them to continue to produce.
All right. Well, Jeff, thanks again, and I'll see you, or I guess I won't see you because it's in Arizona, but I will talk to you next week on the 49ers Insider Podcast.
Sounds great, Matt. Thank you, man.
All right, and now coming up is my conversation with comedian actor Al Madrigal, a longtime 49ers season ticket holder, a San Francisco native, and this, as I mentioned earlier, this was recorded before the 49ers game against the LA Rams. From the time I started this podcast about a year ago, one of the people that I really wanted to get on, I had kind of pinpointed, was actor-comedian Al Madrigal, longtime 49ers fan. When things aren't going well for the 49ers, I always thought it'd be good to have some comic relief. So we went back and forth over email over a couple of weeks. He recently probably made the grave mistake of giving me his phone number. And so let's give Al a call right now.
System not available.
Well, that's not good. Hello.
Hey, what's up? It's Al. How are you?
Hey, Al. Matt Maiocco here. How you doing?
Great, great, great. Sorry, it didn't even ring. It just went straight to missed call.
Are you sure you didn't put my number as one to block, knowing that I'd be calling you?
Blocked numbers. I agree to a podcast, and then I block the number. That's my move.
Well, tell me about your history. I know you're a great fan of the 49ers, have been for quite some time. How did all that start?
My dad had tickets at Kezar. So I grew up in the Inner Sunset District in San Francisco, 15th between Irving and Judah. And they used to meet at the house, go to games, and I think walk over to Kezar, just sort of walking distance. And then got tickets at Candlestick. We got an entire section right above the Jumbotron. We were in section 62, upper box, and it was row G. And my kids from my school, grammar school growing up, had spots, cousins, and then, friends of cousins. And so as the Niners were, they were horrible, we would just sort of gobble up more seats, and eventually you've got sort of 20 of your friends and family members sitting together, which is really cool, and forced to stay at every single game. So, you know, not a ton of money growing up, and my dad still bought the tickets, so we stayed until the fourth quarter in garbage bags when it was raining and would look around and no one else was there, and you know, got to see some great comebacks, and I remember that Saints game was one of the best comebacks in 49er history. Stayed for that, and
that was the year before the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, I believe so. So we suffered through a lot of. We never saw anything on the Jumbotron. I'm not sure if anyone heard us booing whenever they said, "If you now can turn your attention to the Jumbotron." We'd all go, boo, we'd boo the Jumbotron. Square, we had a tunnel. They got rid of all the tunnels, entrances, and the upper boxes at some point. And they, they got rid of all like the a main passageway for us under. Do you remember when they did that? They sort of, when they added seats to Candlestick, they took one of our main cut-throughs away. So, and then we had no vending at all. We had, if you wanted to go get a hamburger, you had to go leave at like the, you know, beginning of the second quarter, hike all the way around to the other side of the stadium just to get something that wasn't a hot dog, popcorn, a Coke, or a beer. Like, that's all we had. So if you wanted anything else, you know, a hot dog with grilled onions on it, a Niner dog, that was like a good 12 sections away. Hamburger was, you know, fully on the other side of the stadium. So we were just sort of suffering through it. And then, you know, when I hear people talk about complain about Levi's, which there are complaints, but it's just so much better than the Stick. I mean, when we went to the, remember going to that Niner Raider preseason game?
Oh, yeah.
And that where they're, I think, did somebody got shot in the parking lot? People
I believe
died,
so.
Right?
Yeah, and it was after the game.
So I saw a guy, huge man, smashing another guy's head against the bathroom sink. I mean, just if you see somebody get their head smashed against the sink, I'm escorting my father out. A little old man is getting escorted out. I'm acting like I'm Secret Service. Mayhem everywhere. You want to be able to take your kids to the game. So I'm all for, I'm a big Levi's guy. I needed, there was a bad element at Candlestick after a while, and it needed to go.
And even that little tiny, even the little tiny Jumbotron they put on the opposite side, that didn't
that didn't cut it for us. Hell, the Minitron. Now, if you now turn your attention to Minitron. we just lifelong Niner fan. You know, Bill Ring. As I became more successful as a stand-up comic. I never saw Dwight Clark started following me on Twitter, which is huge. So I was direct messaging with Dwight Clark. And I was like, this is so cool. And then what happened when, you know, fast forward to, you know, bulky years, my buddy, as comedian Steve Simone, put Rob Alvarino in touch with me. And he said, you got to talk to Al Madrigal. He's a lifelong Niner fan because he was at the Eagles, and my friend is from Philadelphia. Rob Alvarino is now a VP, but he was actually the executive producer of the 49ers. He's this guy. Do you know Alvarino?
Yeah, yes, I do. Yeah.
Yeah, he's awesome. So he is like, it's amazing. So at the stadium, I get to take my son into his box where he's like a symphony conductor. He's like, cheerleaders in two. Give me music. Give me scoreboard and Patrick Willis tribute, go. It was just amazing. You know, he's like, he's just conducting this game and the stadium experience. And he had this cool job, but he did it with the Chiefs, and the Niners grabbed him. I don't know if people realize how well the Niners do in digital, but, you know, he showed me this graph where here are all the other teams, and the Niners are just in the corner. They had to redo the graph for, you know, sort of .com hits and views that they were getting. So he calls me up and he basically has me do these 49er pieces. We did, I forget what they were even called. It was
like the public service stuff?
No, a little bit of it. You know, because we had a lot of new fans and people coming in. When I hear somebody, it's fourth down, and I hear people cheering, it makes me crazy. Like, do you not know how this works? We're quiet on offense, you idiots. Like, just be quiet. I don't understand what's happening. Defense, go nuts. Make some noise. Third down, let's hear it.
Right.
Our fourth down, if you cheer, you're a moron. And you shouldn't be at the game. Just stay home. Cheer to your TV. Bite your fingernails. Yeah, you're quiet. Be silent. So we did some stuff like that. Anyway, I did it with fellow comedians, Dan Soder, Tommy Jonigan. Dan Soder is on the show Billions now. He's doing really well. He has a Comedy Central show. He's a great guy. So we did all these sketches about, you know, four guys tailgating well before Levi's was even finished. Then I got a phone call from this woman, Angel, who's now Jed's assistant, really one of the most wonderful people I've ever met. She is coordinating Trent Baalke's 50th birthday party. So I got to, do you know about any of this?
I've heard some whispers about you appearing at Trent's 50th.
Yeah. So I secretly,
when was this?
This has got to be, I think Harbaugh's there.
Okay.
There's rumors of them not getting along. And yeah, this has got to be 4 years ago, right?
Okay.
5 years ago, maybe. Uh-huh. So I show up, and it's a small room at this Silver Creek Country Club that everybody lives at. And I look out, and it's just a, you know, Niner fan's dream come true. Rathman is there. Keena Turner sitting off to my left. Dilfer's walking around. I didn't know Dilfer was going to be there. And Jed is there with the, you know, some of the family. Everybody in the organization front office is at this place. Every scout is there. And I prepared. I had jokes for scouts. I had jokes [S2] Wow. [S1] That would make one of scouts' haircuts. Like I had, I did an impression of Ferg, the trainer.
Oh,
who's if you guys know this guy, if you ever see a little guy run out when anyone here gets hurt, this guy's named Ferg. And he has a dip in constantly.
Yeah.
So he's constantly got a Copenhagen in. And
very Southern. Very, yeah. Very Southern.
So, but he came up to me afterwards and goes, "Hey, buddy, that was great. I got you, bud. Whatever you need, man, I got you. you're golden, buddy. I'll take care of you." So then so I did I went up and I was a surprise guest, but I basically laminated all of my jokes. So I had Tom Sula brought me up, you know, well before he's coach. Uh-huh. And I said, "Keep it going for Ron Jeremy, everybody." And he turned around and flipped me off, which was awesome. And then I said, I'll remember these because, you know, it was such a life changing sort of, it was just an amazing moment. It's perfect room for this sort of thing. You know, 75 people in the conference room. It's all packed in. It was great. A little banquet room. And I go, before we start, I get a couple of announcements. Jim Harbaugh cannot be here this evening, folks, because he's on a Disney cruise, which is true. And, where I have it on good authority that he's already made Goofy cry twice, and he just tried to sign Peter Pan to the practice squad as a four-string quarterback, which is ridiculous because we already have Colt McCoy, and we don't need another Peter Pan. And then I said, A.J. Jenkins cannot be here tonight. And everybody goes, "Ooh!" I go, "He wanted to come, but he was bumped by an old lady in the airport and thrown off his route." and then when he went to get on the plane, they wouldn't let him fly without an adult. And then I said, and Colin Kaepernick cannot be here, folks, because which I'm fine with because he had a second option. And for the first time in his entire life, he decided to take a look at it. So this is in front of everyone. Dilfer just lost his mind. I'm not sure. Can I swear on this thing?
It might get bleeped out, but go for it.
No, that's right. Dilfer screams, he goes, "Quit stealing my shit." And I remember when I started, I did the Harbaugh thing. I heard Dilfer in the back. He goes, "Oh, this is going to be good." And then I proceeded to tear everybody a new one.
That is
awesome. And it was great. I had jokes for Jed, who was there and took it in stride. And I said, Jed went to Notre Dame on my mom owns a football team scholarship. Congratulations on being congratulations on being the most successful guy named Jed. Like second place is a meth dealer in Fresno. Yeah, it was fun. And then got the craziest call. So I start talking to everybody.
Can
and
I cut you
call.
Off, Al?
Go ahead.
What was your bulky material? Or are you getting that? Do that?
Oh, my God. So I did a full bulky impression. All right. Hey, everybody. How you doing? Nice to see you. I said, if you ever notice and really pay attention to Trent, he answers questions with questions. And I did him proposing to his wife. Will you marry me? I was just doing, I had tons of bulky stuff, obviously. I was making fun of his dogs. And he is a Chihuahua that only loves him. And so I did an impression of Trent, just really, I forget, not as memorable as the other ones, but it was mostly the impression went a long way. And I did him in a bunch of scenarios, and then I riffed a bunch of stuff when other people went up, because, you know, some of his friends from Wisconsin were there, and I remember they said some stuff about Jed, and I said, you guys better watch out. Jed's family's going to buy them all near you and shut it down. Just fucking, just to mess with you. And it was great. So it went really well. Everything went great until I got to, it was Doug Wilson, the GM of the Sharks, who was there.
Yeah.
And Jed still likes telling this story because the room shut down. And this is my closer, and I should have just left him alone. The football people had no problem laughing at the other football people in there and the officers. But Doug was just a buddy of Trent's that lived nearby. And so he was there with his wife, sitting in the back. And I go, Doug Wilson is here, ladies and gentlemen. Let him hear it. I go, Doug, Native Americans have made better trades than you. I go, some of Doug's deals are shakier than Muhammad Ali playing blackjack. And... and everybody just went, oh man, these are too brutal. And because they didn't, and Doug loved it. He's like, dude, I'm in a hockey locker room. You could say anything to me. I think it was fantastic. So everybody was really nice afterwards. The Trent stuff, he's going, hey, let me tell you something about it. He really did that. And he stopped doing it after I called him out on it. Which is he would answer questions with questions. He'd do it constantly.
Oh, that's great.
So, and then he invited me to 4th of July at his house a couple years in a row, and Beth, and it was just me and my kids and my wife at Trent's house, where my kids were ruining his pool table and we drank Bud Lights. And it was,
yeah. Hey, Al, during my time around Balky, he was a tough nut to crack. He was a tough guy to break down walls.
He was close to his vest. That's why I like, and I don't doubt, that's what I just really didn't like. I didn't like any of the cloak and dagger stuff. I didn't like any of the secrecy. I didn't like any of the leaks to the press. But, when you have this, whatever happened, with Harbaugh, because I don't think it was like they were solely to blame on the Niners side with the Harbaugh separation. If anybody thinks they know better, they don't. That they, were trying their best, and we had a Greg Roman problem, and we did. So that's what that was all about. And they wanted to do something and fix it, but they were in no position to. And so that's why there was the separation. So. We now are in a great spot with two people coming in. You want a GM and a coach coming in at the exact same time, working together, a GM who is an amazing communicator.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm not sure. What has your experience been with John Lynch?
It's been great. No, I mean, he's one of these guys that he came in with not a whole lot, virtually no experience as far as being at an executive level. He had helped the Broncos evaluate drafts, but he came in and surrounded himself with great people, Adam Peters, Martin Mayhew. And I guess the biggest thing is that, granted, we're very early into their first regular season together, but it appears like John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan are in lockstep and have the same exact objectives for the organization. And that's key to have those two guys working on the same page.
I love it. I know, look, we haven't scored a touchdown this season. And I know that is not going according to plan. And they thought there would be more of a passing game, I'm sure. But I really like what's happening on defense. I liked, Breida. I think he's going to. The fact that they had undrafted free agents make this team shows just commitment to winning. And when you have, other teams or past 49er teams, when you draft somebody, there's sort of this ego that gets involved, and they certainly have none of that. So that's awesome. And I also think John Lynch, can be put in the same category as Steve Kerr. They knew this was going to happen, and they had been preparing for it well before. You saw that Pete Carroll complaining about, John asking too many questions during pregame prep or whatever it was. So I don't know. I think it's a great match, and I'm excited. I get to meet both those guys. They let me announce one of the draft picks. It didn't show up on, NFL Network, but I got to actually announce the George Kittle pick on draft day.
I did see that. So that wasn't on the network? I did see video of it.
It was digital only. Okay. I think that's what I meant on, so no one saw it.
Yeah. So do you have a soft spot in your heart now for George Kittle?
I do. I love George Kittle. Yeah. I like C.J. Beathard. I think both of those Iowa guys, from what I've read, and that's the other thing that people have to know. It's like I consume every single – I'm on the Santa Rosa Press Democrat on a daily basis. I look at the Sacramento Bee. I look at, the Mercury. I consume every Niner Nation, Niner Noise, whatever it is, I'm on it. Wow. So,
and even NBC Sports Bay Area from time to time?
Not really.
Yeah, that guy needs to step up his game.
He totally does. So I just really love all this stuff. Yeah, every single bit of it I am looking at. And that's why, when I think it was – I think you did this. One of my friends has traveled with the team, and didn't you do some sort of meetup?
Yeah,
before
did something
on Twitter, and you get people together. My buddy went to one of those.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it's purple. I was like, you met Matt Maoka? That's amazing. that's so cool. So yeah, I'm that dork, and I think we're on the right path. I really do feel like we're in great shape moving forward. I love the fact that and also, I think for in Jed's defense, I'm a big Jed fan. I think that he has learned a lot with any organization. If you're in business, I own a company, and I think it's incredibly difficult to get the right people working together in harmony, that aren't, egos aside, unselfish, bright and work ethic. You want to get all these things, and it's like this formula that you have to put together, and you have to be this great captain at the same time, know when you have to step out. And so there's a learning curve, but he's our owner for the life of this team, and he is committed to winning. I don't see anything that points to anything else.
You sound like a very optimistic guy, Alan.
I am the most optimistic sports fan. I mean, do you understand?
I thought you'd be the angry fan. The what's going on? What are these guys doing? But no, you're
No. I always trusted. This is what I say. Shanahan knows what he's doing. John Lynch knows what he's doing. They're with these guys every single day. It's impossible for somebody on a couch or somebody with a notepad watching it saying, "Why isn't this happening? Why isn't they're with them? They know the personalities." Anthony, we got dealt a really rough hand. Didn't we lose more players than any other team in professional sports at one point? When we lost Patrick Willis and Boylan suddenly retired, and then you had
Justin Smith,
Anthony Davis screw us like he did. Yeah. And it's just, we suffered a major, major loss. And then tried to band-aid some nonsense together with a couple of coaches in a row, and we're finally in the right place. Mm-hmm. So I feel good about it. But when Bill Walsh and Carmen Policy were running the team, and I always used to say, I was like, they know what, how can ever make you think that you know better?
Yeah.
So I just think they're with these guys every single day. They know who the head cases are. They know who, you know, the disruptive, you know, they know everything. They're with them nonstop. The thing that was most troubling to me about the team was like all of the off the field issues that were happening.
Yeah.
And somebody not keeping an eye on that.
Yeah, you're talking about the Ray McDonald, Alden Smith, Bruce Miller, those situations.
Those three things are just so disturbing. I mean, and clearly, three guys have a problem. But for you not to see that the three guys have a problem, there was the thing with Bruce Miller and his fiance accused him of pushing her down to the ground. There was the first incident, you know, that he sort of said it was retracted or something. And that video of him trying to do, like, fight the old man and his son at the motel. What is happening? How does this happen? How is somebody not on top of these guys? And does anybody know what happened to that kid since?
Since Bruce has not been seen of or heard from in more than a year.
Yeah, wow.
Since that was like the week before the start of the last regular season, and haven't, you know, other than a court appearance, he hasn't appeared. And no, that was a really weird thing, as I tell people, you know, all the time. They're like, man, was Bruce Miller just the biggest jerk on the team? I mean, God, I can't believe. And it's like, no, you know, it shows you really don't get to know these guys. He was like, you know, in the locker room, whenever you'd speak to him, just the nicest guy that you could come across. But then, you know, these situations occur, and it just makes you realize that you really never get to know these guys.
Yeah, well, also, and he's got some sort of mental illness issue where, you know, he has, you know, 8 beers and loses his mind. So anyway, I thought that was my biggest beef with the team over the years. I have a season ticket, you know, and my brothers to, as a family, you know, we have, I think, 4 or 5 between us, and, you know, another 2 that we can get our hands on. So I fly up for as many games as I possibly can. Mm-hmm. And we have, I saw Scott Osler wrote about it this morning, but we have the sun issue.
Yeah.
On the east side, which is a major problem. But other than that, I have no complaints.
What side like of the stadium are you on?
I'm in the microwave side.
Are you really?
I'm in the walk away 10 shades darker.
Wow.
Side. Yeah.
And I mean, I guess you don't have to go to tanning booths.
No more tanning booths for me. Yeah, it's great. But hopefully they can do something. I mentioned it to Al Marino since I have his ear, and he's like, "Yep, we're working on it. We're working on it.
Yeah,
dude, we got it."
The thing is, I mean, it's basically one game a year, right? At least it will be this year, because, you know, they had night games during the preseason, and the season opener was a stove being in there on that east side, and then night game on that Thursday night against the Rams, and then I don't think they play again until mid October for a day game.
Okay, well, hopefully. I mean, it still is sunny. I mean, it's just you know. Anyway, so I'm sure they're going to handle on it. Hopefully, we're working on something. But as far as the team goes, I'm fired up. I really am. I'm really excited about the defense, and I think a couple more pieces in the secondary and an offensive line that can hold people off for more than 3 seconds, and I think we're in business. Maybe Goodwin catches a pass.
Yeah, that would help.
Yeah.
How many games do you figure on coming to this year, Al?
I will probably see. I had some good fortune. I got cast in a movie that really put a kink in my plans. So I'm in Atlanta for 30 days, and I just got cast in this Kevin Hart movie called Night School.
Nice.
That's going to be coming out next year, and then I'm going to try to come up for as many as I possibly can. I was supposed to go tonight, but then the movie thing happened, so I had to shift some stuff around and send someone my ticket.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you passed on this curse? I'm not gonna. That's not a curse, but the 49er fan.
Yeah. The other thing is, like, how quickly people forgot that we were 3 NFC championships in a row.
Right.
We went to the Super Bowl. We were like a, you know, some play calling away from a Super Bowl win. And yeah, I just think that we, you know, had some horrible misfortune, made some bad choices, and now we're on the mend and we're fine. You know, the, when the curse is what, a Browns fan? The curse is a, you know, not even a Bills fan. Like we've had, you know, winning seasons, you know, and we've had, we have the Super Bowl rings to show for it. So I think we're great. I mean, I was a Warrior fan. We had the long, I am a Warrior fan, a lifelong Warrior fan. And so I feel like that's the exciting part is you stick with your team and then they go, there's going to be peaks and valleys and you're just going to have to stay with them. But at the, a couple of years ago when I was walking down the stadium and I was like, fire Jed York signs and some idiot, like just, yeah, not that we're going to, not going to be in the playoffs every single year. I mean, it would be nice, but that's just not the way this works. People come and go. People get hurt unexpectedly. Just is deal with it.
Do your kids, are they 49ers fans as well? Do
you, yeah. Do they come up with it? Yeah. Well, my son went to the game by himself. He's a 15-year-old and went to the home opener.
By himself?
Flew up. Well, he flew up, you go Burbank to San Jose.
Okay.
My mom picked him up, took him home on a Saturday. They hung out. Brother picked him up in the morning. Cousin took him to the airport. See you later.
Oh, man. Now, that is something.
So, yes is the answer to that question. My daughter's first words were, boo Lakers, no joke. And we're in L.A. I'm surrounded. I just looked at the L.A. Times this morning where they're predicting that the Rams win tonight 30-16, which I don't think is going to happen at all. So I'm excited to beat up on the Rams. I am excited to, see us get our first touchdowns tonight. That's going to happen. When does this come out?
This will come out after the game. So you'll either look like a genius or people will be saying.
I will give you a score prediction right now. I think it's going to be Niners 17, Rams 10.
17-10. Okay. The first two touchdowns of the season for the 49ers.
That's correct. Yes. And Matt Breida will score one of those.
Really? The change of pace back, coming in and breaking the goal line. Do you have favorites?
Absolutely, 30-yard run.
Other than Matt Breida and George Kittle and C.J. Beathard, do you have?
I really like his, Lorenzo Jerome. I like watching. I'm really rooting for Trent Taylor. I'm rooting for a lot of the rookies.
It seems like you like the underdogs.
I really do. I do like. I want Goodwin, you know, that game where we played the Vikings in preseason and he had that flash. I don't see why we can't see that in the regular season.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts on Colin Kaepernick?
Oh, sure. I think, absolutely. I think he's getting a raw deal. He should definitely, he's better than 50% of the quarterbacks in this league. And he should be on somebody's team. And it's crazy. And I think the owners are all predominantly white billionaires who are total chicken shits when it comes to upsetting some sort of weird percentage of their white nationalist fan base. So, yeah, but on the other hand, I'm glad he's not with the Niners anymore because I thought – he had a tell. Every single game I watched, and maybe you can agree to this, or I knew what he was going to do. I would sit there with my son and go, pass, run. I would call it 100% of the time. And if I can do that from my couch, you know that a defensive coordinator can, and you know that a good linebacker and a good safety can. So he is just an amazing athlete. That also, he, you know, what, had three different offensive coordinators in 3 years?
Yeah.
Tough. It's a hard spot to be in. There's no doubt about that. So he wasn't exactly given the tools, but, you know, a gifted athlete. I mean, we look at, can't help but think back about and you know, when you watch Alex Smith and still in the league, and you think about what could have happened with Mike Nolan and his Aaron Rodgers meeting, it's just one of those moves, and we're a lot better. But yeah, so what's done is done. But yeah, I thought CJ Beathard looked good. I'm not exactly calling for him yet, but I'm excited about it's Kirk Cousins or whoever comes next working with this. But first, we need an offensive line. And so, you know, Anthony Davis, that's got to be the biggest asshole of, you know, that's come along in a long time, because he really. And when we drafted those two guys, Mike Capotti, and then he goes to Arizona, I think, like, losing those two dudes was huge. And I was so excited when he came back, you know, momentarily in the preseason last year, and then just to screw us again. And I don't know what was going on.
Well, it turned out, I mean, Trent Brown was far better, wasn't going to be giving up right tackle. And then at the suggestion of moving inside to guard, you know, Anthony Davis didn't want any part of that. I mean, you know how it is. I mean, in the NFL, if a guy isn't 100% in, then he might as well just be 100% out, because it doesn't work at this level of football to have any questions about whether you want to play the game.
Where do you stand on the whole Kaepernick thing?
Well, I mean, I can see, I think the only team that really gets a pass for not considering him is the 49ers. You know, I think it ran its course with the 49ers. You know, you bring in a new coach, a new GM, no team is going to keep the quarterback that's been around for 6 years. I agree with you. I think he's better than probably better than a third of the starting quarterbacks in this league. And for some teams, it might be all about the system. You know, it might be, well, you know, we want a guy who's more of a pocket passer. We don't want to change what we do. But I think a good coach takes the best players and makes good with them. And I think for Kaepernick, the teams that would consider him, that would be willing to change their system or work with him, are probably the teams where ownership gets involved and says, you know what, let's go in a different direction. So I do think that for some teams it's legitimate football, and I think for other teams it's beyond football.
It's sad. I think we could make a list, and there's probably an image out there on Instagram. You know, you have X number of wife beaters. You have X number of, you know, you have Ben Roethlisberger playing happily after his buddies watched a door while he assaulted a girl in a bathroom. And you have all of these people who are allowed to play football, but this guy took a knee for something that he believed in and that he had every right to believe in, considering the situation, that there's all of these cops that have been acquitted out there killing, you know, black people left and right. It's just, there's a huge list, and he had every right to take a knee. Malcolm Bennett at the fight the other day, you know, have his situation where he's thrown on the ground, and it's a tricky place to be in. And I think he had every right to do whatever he wants to do, and that's what makes this country great. Then you have all these people with domestic violence cases out there, and they're suiting up.
Yeah.
And so we're okay with that, but we're not okay with this guy, and we don't want to. It's just a weird standard to have. I can't believe it. And I thought, again, the Niners did the right thing. You saw what Jed did. He donated $1 million. I forget exactly what the cause was, but, and to show support for Colin and what he was doing. At the same time, you know, he's overpriced here, and his stay had run its course. And you're totally right that the Niners are the only team that probably have the right to say goodbye.
Do you buy that, you know, the whole notion that, you know, TV ratings are down because of off the field issues or off the field.
That's nonsense.
Yeah.
I think that there's just way too much TV. I think that they're suffering from what everyone is suffering from in television, and considering I work in television, they just, the numbers are down across the board. And there's just a handful of shows, but, you know, everyone getting rid of cable, having Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, all of these other choices, internet being so fast, people capable of taping a game and watching it after the fact. They're just suffering from what everyone else is in television. And that's just the options that go along with lightning fast internet.
Yeah. And I mean, nowadays there's college football on every day of the week, you know, including Tuesdays.
My daughter plays volleyball. I was watching, you know, women's college volleyball with her last night. We can watch anything we want at any time we want. The thing about sports that they always thought that they were, you know, sort of to Teflon situation, just like they're better to watch in the moment. But if people have to go to stuff and you have NFL Sunday ticket, you can tape it, keep an eye on your phone, and then watch everything after the fact. And I'm sure that they're not accounting for those numbers. Yeah. So they're screwed like everybody else. I think that's just an excuse for the people.
I'm the kind of fan, Al, that I want it now. Like if I cannot tape a game and then try to stay away from news and then come back and watch it like it's happening live. Like if it's happening, I just want to know the score, whether I'm getting text updates or Twitter. Do you have the patience to try to remain away from news of a 49er game and then coming back and watching it as if it were live? Hello? Hello? Not sure what happened there.
Yeah, it's definitely me. I mean, have this, I live on a hillside in Pasadena near the Rose Bowl, and we are in, you know, phone and internet is sketchy at best. So if one of them goes out, then I'm in deep trouble with any sort of phone call. I'm not sure how much of that you heard, but...
No, I didn't. Did you hear what I said about, you know, needing the information now as opposed to... just trying to watch it on tape as if it were live?
Yeah, I mean, I want to watch it live. Like at this game tonight, because I'm a crazy person about this team, I'm going to be sitting at a television at probably at 5 p.m. I'll record everything beforehand. And the only reason I'll be, you know, away till 5 p.m. is because of my daughter's volleyball game. Like, and then I will watch every single second of it.
Is your daughter a 49ers fan as well?
Yeah, everybody.
For everybody. Even your wife.
My wife is more of a Warrior fan, actually. She really gets behind the Warriors. We watch every single one of those games as well. And, yeah, football is tough. Like, she'll come in if it's close. But she's not going to sit there and watch it, you know, us get our asses kicked by 30 points like I will.
So you're from beginning to end. You're not leaving, even if it's hopeless.
No, I like sticking around. I mean, if my ride is taking off and we're getting our butts kicked and somebody's like, we're down by 35 points or 20 points or whatever, and everyone's fed up. But if I'm at home watching, I won't walk away from the TV at all. When I married my wife, or when I started dating my wife, let's see, it says everything. First date, one of our first big dates was her birthday, and I took her to a Warrior-Laker game, the one where Antoine Jameson scored 51 points, and then Kobe, they came back, and he scored 51 points to match him. I'm not sure if you remember that. And then I issued her a Niner schedule when we started dating.
You issued
and
her?
And I said... Yeah, I go, listen, look at this. Look at these dates. I go, on these dates, I don't do anything except watch these. I go, it's 16 games, not a big deal. I go, I'm not going to a baby shower. I'm not going to somebody's wedding. I'm not going to go on a picnic. I go, I'm going to watch these. I'm going to go to it or I'm going to watch it, one or the other. The only times I've missed have been when I had to go to the Emmys for The Daily Show and I watched it in on my phone in the limousine. And those are really some of the only games I've ever missed in my entire life. It's stupid.
Is it different? You know, it's different as a kid. Were you? Did you go to the catch game by any chance?
No, my mom got to go to the catch game because my mom was still, my mom went to the playoff game. Okay. I got to go to every single regular season game, and I was really bummed out about it. And I watched it by myself.
How different is it to be a fan sitting in section 62 to where you are now being a fan, but also knowing some of the people involved, knowing Jed, knowing Al Guido, you know, having met Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch? Is it different?
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's a little bit, you know, it's cool for sure. You know, I got to take my son into Jed's box during that Denver Bronco preseason game. I mean, that was awesome. I got to eat the Foghorn Energizer. I think he talked to my cousin Frank at the St. Francis game, and I got to bring him and his son Johnny with me, and we were on the field during gameplay. Oh, that was awesome. So you get a sort of access like that. That's the difference. But again, even if I didn't know any of these guys, it'd be the same exact thing. And, you know, when I do talk to everybody, it's not like I'm so enamored with them that I'm not having honest conversations.
That's good. Well, Al, I can tell you that my family is basically thoroughly unimpressed with what I do. But my wife, a big fan of The Daily Show, a couple years ago, when she told me that Al Madrigal follows you on Twitter, I think maybe I got some form of street cred from that. So thank you very much.
Sure. Oh, I'm sorry. It's a pretty bad street cred. But yeah, tell your wife thank you. And no, thanks for all the great work. I love it. And I'm sure I'll meet you. I'll text you before I come up for one of the games this year. And
yeah,
I'll,
please do.
Say hello first.
And yeah. So you're going to be awesome. In Atlanta for 30 days for Night School, the Kevin Hart movie. I saw Where I'm Dying Up Here got picked up for a second season from Showtime. So congratulations.
Very exciting. So there's that. And so I'll go right into that. And then just sold a TV show yesterday. While I'm in Atlanta, I will be busy writing the entire time when I'm not acting. So it's all happening very quietly, doing just fine. And it's sort of a good place to be as well. I like the I like being able to. There's a very tricky balance, I think, to watch a lot of my friends just become obsessed with celebrity, and it's weird and wild. Attention and post pictures of their dog and their kids on Instagram constantly, and you know, really just need it more than anything else. And I'm not, you know, if I was honestly able to go to these games and sit in the parking lot, I mean, the ultimate goal for me as a person is to be able to follow the Niners and the Warriors on the road for a decent number of games and be that, have that. That's the level of wealth that I aspire to have is road game money. And that's it.
Road game by fun. Is there a road city?
Yeah, I know.
Road city that...
Yeah, I went with the guys to a Redskins game like 3 or 4 years ago. And then where else have I been? Not too many Niner games. I've been to a couple Warrior games. I really, I mean, that's the ultimate goal, to have freedom in your schedule to be able to go to Niner away games. Mm-hmm.
I did notice, I was looking to see if you have any dates scheduled for the Bay Area, but I noticed on November 18th, you're going to be making a return trip to the Kennedy Center in D.C. I also noticed that it was during the bye week, and based on what you said about issuing your wife a schedule, is there any coincidence there that you're booked there on the bye week and not a weekend where the 49ers have a game?
It really, and this is, again, insane, but it is by design. When I do get offered work, I do check a schedule to make sure that I'm able to watch.
My goodness, that's impressive.
It's stupid. And I'll say, what else? You want to hear the craziest thing of all? I will not go to Seattle under any circumstances. I don't care how much money people offer me. I will never, ever go to Seattle.
You mean you'll never perform in Seattle? Or just go, period.
I will never perform in Seattle, and I will never go to that place. I used to go when they were not in our division. I think they're horrible people. I think that they paint their faces with neon when they started adding neon to their uniform. I think the whole 12th man thing is bullshit. I think it's just one of the worst fan bases in sports. I just can't stand those people. It's like old ladies with short haircuts and face paint is their entire stadium. And I can't stand them. So
Seattle is dead to Al Madrigal.
Yeah, I really am. I hate the Rams. I hate the Cowboys. Cowboy fans are, again, just some of the most horrible people I've ever encountered in my entire life. I just can't stand them. And, it's just I will never, ever, ever go to Seattle. I just can't stand that team more than anybody else. I just can't wait till it flips. We almost beat them last week. I can't wait till this thing flips again and we just start kicking their ass on a regular basis. Pete Carroll and his plastic surgery face and those idiot fans. There you go, Matt.
Yeah, there it is.
That craziness.
Yeah.
But I just can't stand it.
Well, I think there's probably a lot of 49er fans who echo those comments, and probably warms their heart to hear such a diehard like yourself speak in such measured tones about Seattle.
Yeah. Please, if you do anything for me. No sound on offense, everybody, if you're going to the game.
No sound.
Let's remember
on offense.
That. Okay. Let's also be loud on defense. Let's hear you on second down, third down, certainly a fourth down. But be smart and be respectful to other teams, fans, when they come into the stadium. They should hopefully do the same when they're in our house. But if you ever travel, you want to be extended the same courtesy. And, go Niners.
Yeah. Al, hey, thank you very much. It's been a great pleasure. Thanks for all the time you gave me today.
Hey, no problem. It's a pleasure talking.
And let's meet up down the road.
Definitely.
Okay, take care. Thank you.
All right, later.
The 49ers Insider Podcast on NBC Sports Bay Area.com.